Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us again today as we face the issues. We'll be talking about an issue today that I think is vital, especially for every Christian listening. And the vital question is, what if Jesus had not risen? What if Jesus had not risen? Before we get into the monologue, dialogue, and discussion, let me remind us of a couple of things. First of all, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the radio studios and right to our microphones that we can have the dialogue and discussion, your input, your comments, and your questions on this broadcast today. But before we do that, let me invite you to worship with us Sunday. Sundays we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. 9:30 Sunday morning we'll have Bible study. At 10:45, worship services. We'll be speaking on a subject Sunday morning, the Savior of the Cross. The Savior of the Cross. We'll also celebrate water baptism and the celebration of the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning services. We'll not have Sunday evening services. We invite families to be together on Easter Sunday together. And so therefore, we have a wonderful high time on Sunday morning and celebrating Resurrection Sunday. You're invited. First Conservative Baptist Church is located 1 mile south of I-295, right here on Old St. Augustine Road, in the very heart of Mandarin. We're located north of I-95, approximately 3.25 miles north of I-95 intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and 95, right in the heart of Mandarin, easily accessible from any point in the city of Jacksonville, located right here in the heart of Mandarin. Looking forward to having you worship with us on Sunday. We've had the privilege of meeting you on the air for these years, having the dialogue and discussion about the issues. We have the joy and the privilege of having people to worship with us every Sunday. That's our listeners on the broadcast program each day. We invite you to come. If you've not worshiped with us, do so. We just simply preach the old-fashioned gospel. What does the Word of God say? We still are involved in worship music that you can understand, that praises the Lord, lifts Him up, and the words can be heard that are honoring to Him. So let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said, of the Word of God, thy word is truth. He had already said to His disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to stir our hearts, challenge our lives, direct our footsteps, deepen our conviction, broaden our commitment, and what Christ would have us to do in this old world in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an example that I want to use by way of introduction for this broadcast today that's on the hearts and the minds, and it should be, of everyone that's watched the news of late. You know the recent inferno at the Cathedral of Notre Dame in France. It destroyed that landmark, and that landmark has stood for some 850 years, according to historians. We're told that the artisans that built the beautiful, beautiful, massive structure, the artisans that labored did so. Many of them lived and died, never seeing the work completed. The work continued for about 550 years to build that magnificent cathedral. Lay aside, ladies and gentlemen, for this time, for this particular broadcast, just lay aside all of the suspicion as to what caused it. Lay aside the high probability of what caused it and the realization that in the past couple of years in France. Over 2,000 churches have been burned just in the past month before this took place. A minimum of 12 churches had been vandalized, destroyed, and burned in France. So just lay aside all the potential cause and effects of what that has been. Just lay that aside for a moment, and let's just lay aside that question and focus on the wonder of it all. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, I was fascinated by watching some of the film footage and the photographs that had been taken after the fire was extinguished in the beautiful, beautiful cathedral. But when you view the skeletal remains of this beautiful edifice of worship that was once a beautiful, beautiful building, the miracle of miracles that catches the eye of the beholder is that of the cross. As they have the camera light shining, of course, no lights inside the building. The fire has destroyed all of that. But as the camera lights are shining down through the corridor, going to the pulpit area of that cathedral, there in the background is a beautiful, shining cross that's still standing. The cross is still in place. The cross still gleaming. The cross is still showing. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the cross is seen through the rays of light in the midst of the fire-torn rubble at that edifice today. And I focus on that by way of introduction, because, ladies and gentlemen, this Easter season, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we need to be reminded it's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the cross of Christ that stood on Mount Calvary's hill some 2,000 years ago. It's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ where he hung and died. Ladies and gentlemen, it was not law that kept him to the cross. It was love that kept Jesus Christ on the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels to release him and set him free, but he remained on the cross because, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, "No man takes my life, but I lay down my life. And if I lay down my life, I can take it up again." That's because Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. This is where our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, hung and bled and died. He was hung between there on the cross between two thieves to fulfill the scripture that said that he would die with the thieves, with others, if you please, those that were guilty. But the wonderful thing is when you see the three crosses there on Mount Calvary, one was the cross of rebellion, one was the cross of redemption, and one was the cross of reception. One said, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Ladies and gentlemen, the good thought there is, the absolute fact is that you don't have to be a Baptist to be saved. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Though the first thing, the first act of obedience after salvation is water baptism, being obedient to representing, symbolizing the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, going through the baptismal waters, according to Romans 6, that we might come up again in newness of life and walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was that one that looked at him, and Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the rich red royal blood of Jesus Christ that is the only remission of sin. But may I remind us as believers, our only hope, our only confidence is found in the resurrection of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, a dead Christ has no value. A dead Jesus cannot save anybody. But a resurrected Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and through our faith and trust in that finished work on Calvary, we can have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus bodily arose from the grave, having victory over sin, death, and the grave. Jesus said, and I remind us again, "No man takes my life, but I lay it down, and I can take it up again." Just, ladies and gentlemen, how could Jesus assert this? How could he make that determination? How could he make that dogmatic statement? Because Jesus Christ is 100% man, and yet he's 100% God. Ladies and gentlemen, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and I'll not take time to read that, nor do I have time to exegete the text. Wonderful study. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery." Ladies and gentlemen, it is fact, as you look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, we see the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the scripture says, and he took upon himself the form of man. That word form is the little Greek word morphe, M-O-R-P-H-E, pronounced with a long E, morphe. that literally means the outward shell, the outward visage of human being. It's a plus factor. It's not a diminishing factor. It's not taken away from his deity. It's adding to his deity. It's God come in the flesh. It is God 100% and man 100%. Therefore, Jesus Christ, the God-man, came into the world by way of flesh. He came into this old world to shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross, to be buried, and on the third day to rise again bodily, visibly, and victoriously. Ladies and gentlemen, when you study the Synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find that Jesus, for 40 days and 40 nights, walked this whole earth after his resurrection, before his ascension. And he was seen visibly by over 500 at one time. He was seen by the two walking on the road to Emmaus. He was seen by the 12 disciples. He was seen by the 11. He was seen by the women. He was seen over 11 different times. He was seen according to the scriptures before he ascended. Ladies and gentlemen, Buddha died and is dead. He's still in his tomb. Confucius died. He's dead and still in a grave someplace. Muhammad died and's dead and still in his tomb. And by the way, that's the reason today anything dealing with Islam is a fake, phony farce. Islam is a phony religion. Islam is a farce. They deny Jesus Christ's deity. They deny that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, though Buddha died and Confucius died and Muhammad died, they're all in their tomb someplace, somewhere, contrary to what is espoused by many of the advocates of the false, phony, fake religion called Islam. Muhammad did not ascend into heaven. It is an attempt to mimic, mock, to betray anything about Jesus Christ being 100% God and his ascension. Never, notwithstanding that, never mind that, Jesus died and he rose again. He's alive today. But there's a serious question, ladies and gentlemen. There's a question that must be dogmatically asked and seriously researched and answered. It's not just a hypothetical question. It's a very real, relevant question. And that is, what if Jesus Christ had not risen? What would be the history be like today? What would our calendar be like? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, ladies and gentlemen, changed the history of the world. It went from B.C. to A.D. on our calendars. What if Jesus Christ had not risen? Where would we be today? What would be taking place today in this old world? I realize, ladies and gentlemen, there are a variety of theories that's out there, some kind of theories that talk about Jesus didn't really bodily rise from the dead. There's the swoon theory that says that he just swooned and everybody thought he was dead. The hallucination theory that his disciples were in such a state of shock and hallucinating that they went to the wrong tomb. There's the wrong tomb theory. Literally, when the women went to the tomb, they were so confused and so frustrated and so beside themselves that they went to the wrong tomb and therefore the tomb was empty. There's the stolen body theory that somehow, some way, the disciples conspired with the soldiers and made a decision they'd steal the body away. And that is still very relevant today in many theological circles that that's what happened. There's the temporary burial theory that the grave where Jesus was buried was just a temporary tomb, and the body was removed and placed in some secret permanent tomb after that. There's the lookalike theory, as the Islamics tell us, and this is one of the theories that's promulgated in society today, the lookalike theory that Jesus did not die on the cross. They took Jesus' double image, Jesus' image, someone that looked like him, and crucified him so that the Christians would have a hero that they could talk about rose from the dead. Then there's the legend theory. The resurrection of Jesus is simply a mythological legend. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's a myth. And I simply say to a lot of people that those that believe in that are just myth-taken because they've believed a myth and not the miracle of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, all of the so-called theories are based upon man's rejection of Jesus Christ as God come into flesh. According to the Barna Report, ladies and gentlemen, and the Barna Report, Barna has been researching religion and religious practice and religious statistical data for many, many, many years. One of the most serious, one of the most, if you please, dogmatically well-refined absolute polls and research that could be done by humanity. The Barner Research poll says that only 42%, listen, 42% of Americans say that the meaning of the Easter season is about Jesus' resurrection. Only 42% of Americans. That should tell you why we're where we are today. But listen, yet only 2% of Americans say that Easter is the most important holiday of their faith. Only 2%. I'm saddened by that. I'm dilemmified by that, ladies and gentlemen. It should let us know that there's a serious major problem in America today. Only 2% believe that Easter is the most important, if you please, celebration, most important day, most important holiday of their faith. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask the question again. That's the focus of this broadcast. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're asking the question today, ladies and gentlemen, what if Jesus had not risen? What if Jesus had not come out of the grave? What would be the state and the condition today? The Bible has the answer, I believe, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, if you turn, and I'm not going to try to exegete every verse, but I'm going to read for our edification, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 23. The Apostle Paul carefully, powerfully tells us this. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man, that is the little word dia, D-I-A, the avenue, the access, since the avenue, the access, by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. But every man in his order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take the balance of this broadcast thinking on the subject, what if Christ had not risen? There was a confused philosophy that was taking place in Corinth, that first century church. There was a confusion. The Corinthians were being deluded by some of the Greek philosophers that taught one that died could not ever experience bodily resurrection. They taught that at the death, the spirit is liberated from the flesh, and that they could not have any thought of the flesh returning to that old prison body, and that the soul simply was segmented, separated, and could never return, could never be one again. The central message, ladies and gentlemen, in this text, as we find in verse 12, the central message. Now, if, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is the first class conditional clause in the Greek text. You don't have to memorize that, but it can be translated since. Since Christ be preached, present tense, be preached, literally points to the continual proclamation that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Since Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? In fact, the Apostle Paul, starting out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which, by the way, is the most complete classic text in all of the Bible, verses 1 through 58 in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, is the classic text in all the Bible dealing with the resurrection story, dealing with the truth of the resurrection. And at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3, the Apostle Paul has already talked about the gospel. What is the gospel? He said the gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we can talk about feeding the hungry. We can talk about clothing the poor. We can talk about housing the homeless. We can talk about all of these things, good as they may be. That is not the gospel. One of the problems today that I might dogmatically touch on is the fact that we have a social gospel today where multitudes of denominations, multitudes of Christians think that if you put clothing on someone's back, think that if somehow, some way you feed the hungry and provide a home for someone to live in, that you preach the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the gospel. The gospel, the centrality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is his death, burial, and resurrection. And if we preach anything else, we're not preaching the essential elements of the gospel. The central message is Jesus Christ being preached, that he rose from the dead, the death, burial, and resurrection. But the challenge that's mandated in this text, how say some of you, some among you, that there's no resurrection? There's the confusion among the believers at Corinth. Ladies and gentlemen, the church at Corinth was a confused, mixed up, messed up, divided, deluded body of believers. The Apostle Paul had already said in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, that they were minuscule, they were babes, they could not even get by on the meat of the word, they could only survive by the milk of the word. They had not been strengthened through the word of God. They were divided and disturbed and distributed that fear and that division within the body about their loved ones that had died in the Lord, and they were confused where they'd gone. What happened to them? Where are they? The resurrection was an historic fact in the day of the Apostle Paul. This is the reason, you know, there were some that were called the Sadducees. The Sadducees dissembled about the resurrection. They disagreed in the resurrection. They were divided over the truth of the resurrection and the preaching of the resurrection. And they were the Sadducees, and I say very, nimbly so, that they were Sadducee because they disagreed and disavowed the resurrection. But ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection had already been proven in the Apostle Paul's day. The witnesses, eyewitnesses, were there. Over 500 at one time, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, those in the upper room, doubting Thomas even, all of them had seen Jesus Christ in his resurrected physical, visible body. But ladies and gentlemen, that confused philosophy existed then, and I believe it exists today. But there's a critical problem, a crucial problem, that we look at in verse 13 through 17. What does it matter? Perhaps you're asking the question. Perhaps you're saying, well, Doc, what does it matter if I believe or disbelieve in the resurrection? Ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility. If you say you're saved, you're dead and lost in your trespasses and sin. If you disavow, disbelieve, and dis the resurrection of Christ bodily. No, he didn't rise from the grave as a phantom. It was not a mythological story. It was a fact. It was a miracle. It was a God thing, if you will, because Jesus Christ is God. In fact, the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen. If you disallow, disbelieve, doubt the resurrection bodily of Jesus Christ, you're lost as a green ball in high weeds. Simple as that. You're not saved. It's an impossibility to be saved and disallow, disbelieve the resurrection. What does it matter? It matters a whole lot. There's the caution that's magnified in that 13th verse, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Paul is succinctly saying, if Christ is not raised, we have no victory, no salvation, no deliverance. The resurrection separates Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, from all other religions. Buddha died, as I said, and is dead. He remains in the grave. Muhammad died. He's still in the tomb. Confucius died. He's still buried someplace out there. There's an old song that says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is alive. Another old song that I love to hear, and I can't sing a lick at all. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but I love these old songs. One of them says, lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting for the coming day, Jesus my Lord, up from the grave. He arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose, a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. That's the message today. That's the gospel today, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 and following. In verses 14 through 17, there's what I call the consequences manifested. The consequences manifested. Some will say Jesus rose spiritually and not physically. Some will say it was just a phantom, that he really did not rise from the grave bodily. Some say that his disciples just were so hallucinating over and so saddened by and terrified by his death and burial that they just envisioned seeing Jesus walking around. But ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ is not risen, if Jesus Christ did not bodily come out of the grave, we're of all men most miserable. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, in verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ's resurrection is a hoax, if Jesus Christ's resurrection is not true, then our preaching is fruitless. Fruitless preaching. The purpose for preaching today is to win men, women, boys, and girls to faith in Jesus Christ. If faith in Jesus Christ is vacuous, void, and not there, and it cannot be a faith in Christ if Christ is still in the grave, then if that is the case, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then our preaching is in vain. The whole gospel of the resurrection is vain, empty, useless, invalid. It's a sham. Only a social gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the, through the word of God. And if Jesus Christ is not risen from the grave, then the word of God is false, phony, and fake, and our preaching is fruitless. Not only it's fruitless preaching, but ladies and gentlemen, it's futile faith. Verse 14 says, and your faith is also vain. That word vain means vacuous, void, empty, nothing, hopeless, having no value at all. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, we have only an empty faith. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if the word of God is fruitless, it's false. And where then is the faith? Not only is there the fruitless preaching and the futile faith, but there's the false witness. In verse 15, the scripture says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ is still in that old tomb, if Jesus Christ is still buried, then we're false witnesses. A church is false. A witness, a Christian is false. There's a phoniness in the world today. If Jesus Christ did not rise bodily from the grave, if there's no resurrection, either past or present or future, then we are guilty of saying that God has done something in which in reality he's not done. Therefore, we'll false witnesses. I want us to notice, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is fruitless. We have futile faith, a false witness, and fruitless faith also. Verse 16 and 17 is very clear. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ raised not. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Ladies and gentlemen, it's fruitless faith. Our faith is empty. It's vacuous. It's void. Ye are yet in your sins. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. Listen as you are pondering what I'm saying. If Christ is not risen, then you, then I, we are that claim to be saved, we're still dead in our trespasses and sins. With no resurrection, we stand hopeless, we stand helpless, we stand no remission of sins, no salvation. We're unforgiven, we're unjustified, we're unatoned for, we're still in our sins. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered up for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, our crucified, non-resurrected Christ has no power to deliver men from the power and the penalty and the consequences of sin. If Christ be raised not, then we're dead in our trespasses and sin. And the scripture says very clearly in this text that I'm reading, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But then the conclusion in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits, the down payment, the prototype, the deposit that guarantees our resurrection. We're going to rise again, ladies and gentlemen. Death is not the end. Let me say this in closing. You might be concerned about death. You might be worried about dying and the future after that. The folks at the church at Thessalonica were believing the same, questioning the same thing. But very, very clearly, we're talking about life after death. Because Jesus Christ died and rose again, it's our deposit. It's our guarantee. He is the first fruits from the dead, guaranteeing, ladies and gentlemen, that death is not over for you and for me. When this old body dies, the real me, the real you, will rise again and spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we've been forgiven and our sins have been flung as far as the east is from the west. Thank you so much, and I am so thankful today that we serve a risen Savior. Jesus Christ is alive. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you again on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.